Please stand by. We are about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Jennifer Chin. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Robbie, and welcome everyone to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Jennifer Chin, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and early next week, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. You may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenters are Trey Williamson and Christy Gang. Trey is a seasoned support engineer with 5 years of experience working with WebSphere application server products, as well as significant experience with many different operating systems. Trey specializes in SSL configuration and network trace analysis, employing OS-specific trace utilities. Christy is a software engineer with 4 years' experience working with the WebSphere application server support team and 7 years' experience with customer support. She specializes in application server runtime components such as web container, HTTP sessions, and dynamic caching. Today's topic is configuring HTTPS connections between a web server plugin and the WebSphere application server version 6. The webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will open for a question-answer period. You can adjust the side and bottom scrolls to make the presentation more center and viewable. If you're in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site by clicking View Presentation link or by going to any IBM.com site and type in 700-7987 in the search box. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Trey and Christy.
Well, welcome everybody. My name is Christy Kane, and I'll be going first. I'll do the first couple of slides, then Trey will take over, and he'll do a couple, and then I will come back and do a couple of more. So that's kind of how we're going to start. I'll start the presentation. On the main slide, you should see configuring HTTPS connections between a web server plugin and the WebSphere application server version 6. If we're all ready, I think Trey's ready too, so we'll go ahead and begin to the first slide. This is the agenda of what Trey and I'll be covering. It's introduction. It's the typical configuration that you'll see. Then Trey will cover the web server connections. I'll do the application server connections. We have one slide on two of the most common problems, and then we'll get to your question and answer. Slide three. This is a basic graph of what it looks like when you have to use HTTPS or a basic setup. You have your web browser and your client. Generally, most people have a firewall between their client and their HTTP server, and this is where the first time you'll use HTTPS. Your HTTP server will be in a DMZ. And then you have a second firewall that goes between your IHS server or your WebSphere plugin all the way to your application server. And on your application server is where you have your web container that has your channels that are going to hold your inbound and outbound traffic. This is just a general overview. A lot of people, you know, your setup, you might have more firewalls, more application servers. You might have clusters. You can only enable HTTPS on one side. You can enable it from the web browser to the IHS, and then use HTTP from the plugin to the application server. Our presentation shows using HTTPS all the way through, from the browser to the plugin, and then to the application server. So this is the picture of what we'll be going over. And like I said, you can only put HTTPS at any one point. You don't actually have to use it at both. Slide four. Sending a request to an application requires two unique SSL connections. Like I said, the presentation is off of you using it in both sides. HTTPS from the WebSphere plugin and then to the app server. It usually goes over port 9443. That is the default port. It's configurable, but that when you install WebSphere, that's the default port. From the client to your web server is over port 443. So that's your two default ports. So then Trey is going to go into your server-side SSL authentication on slide 5.
Hey, everybody. I want to get things started off. I want to cover a few terms just so that we'll be nice and clear throughout the whole presentation, kind of do a little level setting. Right off the bat, a few terms are going to be used interchangeably. It just depends on the time of day. HTTPS is simply an HTTP request over an SSL connection. An SSL handshake is simply the general term used when an SSL connection is established. There are several steps in establishing an SSL connection. So we will dig into a little bit of the details. I'll show some examples of exactly what happens to complete the handshake. Just wanted to have a good idea of what exactly it is. An SSL handshake simply is, in its simplest form, so when you go through the steps, you agree on an SSL cipher, you verify a certificate, and you begin talking in that then encrypted SSL connection. Go ahead and go to the next slide. All right. One other detail that I did want to be clear on was the simple fact that all SSL methods are going to use the same basic principles. For a lot of the examples I'm going to use in here, I'm going to be talking about the IBM HTTP server. The IBM HTTP server uses an SSL method. It's called GSKit. Several of you may be familiar with it. The WebSphere application server uses Java's J2E to do its runtime encryption decryption. One of the examples I wanted to use in here as far as how different SSL implementations still use the basic methods. The IBM HTTP server uses an SSL key store to hold its certificates. WebSphere application servers, channels, they're going to use something called a repertoire to hold all their certificates. So the same basic SSL methods are used throughout, whether we're talking SSL, Java, GSKit. Under the covers, they're all still doing the exact same basic principles. So next slide. Quick thing, I don't know how many of you have dug into SSL connections, but this is essentially what it takes to establish an SSL connection. Clients are always going to establish the connection. This is server-side SSL authentication, I should include. The server then sends its public certificate to the client to be verified. The client authenticates the certificate. The client then generates its random key and sends that to the server to be used throughout the life of the connection. And the client and server then begin, piping their data back and forth over that SSL encrypted connection. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. All right. Something to keep in mind going back to that initial frame, if you will. Think about the data flow. The initial SSL connection is always going to be between the client browser and the web server. Notice that I say the web server because it's not directly between the plugin and that web server loaded on that web server. The WebSphere plugin loaded on that web server. The request, giving this SSL connection from the client to the web server requires that you do have an SSL key database, key store, certificate, whatever you like to call it, configured on the web server for that website. I did include in some of the notes that will be available later on some of the basic how-tos on how to configure SSL properly on some basic web servers that WebSphere supports. Next slide. The IBM HTTP server it's up to the web server to establish the connection to the client, to complete the SSL handshake, and then read the client's request. What I'm about to walk you through is simply the initial steps before the plugin establishes its SSL connection. So once the client and the web server have established their SSL connection, the web server is going to read in the HTTP request. The plugin will then begin evaluating that HTTP request, and the plugin will begin its mapping to following its plugin config XML to map up that request and determine if it should handle it. At this point, the plugin is going to begin its SSL handshake, it's SSL discussion with the WebSphere app server. So, next slide. All right, here's where the magic begins. This is the IBM HTTP server plugin. It will initiate the connection to the WebSphere application server, and the SSL handshake will occur. The app server will send the public certificate to the plugin. Again, make sure you're clear on this. It's the app server. In this case, the plugin is the client. The application server is now the server. So we're dependent upon that app server's public certificate that will be sent to the plugin. The plugin will then use its key database to evaluate the validity of that certificate. If you would, go ahead and go on to the next slide. Here's where I wanted to throw in an example to show you. For example, if this example comes from a generic plugin config XML file. When the web server plugin initiates a connection to the WebSphere Java JVM processes hostname, on that port, 9443, you'll notice the protocol is HTTPS. At that time, any HTTPS data, let's go back to their example where that's the server certificate that's going to be sent, server's public certificate. It's going to be validated based on that plugin key.kdb key store. So, you know, backing up, again, it's web server to client. We're doing the client browser to the web server to establish one SSL connection. Totally separate set of key stores. Now another set of key stores are coming into play to evaluate another set, another SSL handshake, and establish another SSL connection. Let's go ahead and go on to the next slide. If you were to look into this, I used the WebSphere iKeyMan utility to look into that plugin key.kdb file. And if you'll notice in the screenshot I grabbed, we are looking under the signer certificates. The plugin key.kdb does store both public, private, and signer certificates within it. This is the location where you will look to validate the signer certificate used when that app server's public certificate is sent over that connection. I hope this is clear. Again, we'll have lots of time for question and answer at the end. Let's go ahead and go on to the next slide. Okay, at this point we're going to cover simply what is needed on the plugin side to create a key database. The WebSphere web server plugin does require a CMS key database. There are several formats for key databases. We particularly use a CMS format. The CMS format, again, yeah, we'll use the KDB extension, and this can be created with the iKeyMan utility. WebSphere does include some demonstration key databases for the simple fact of initial setup. These are not recommended for production environments. You can find that all throughout the doc. They'll include that bit of information. There has been a how-to written up to walk you through these steps, covering WebSphere version 4 through version 5.1 that you all can feel free to look at. Let's go ahead and go on to the next slide. For version 6.0, again, it's pretty much the same thing. For version 6, the following steps: create the key database used by the plugin. Yeah, if you were an iKeyMan, you're going to just click key database file, new. I didn't put in screenshots in here just because, simply for bandwidth reasons, everybody looking at this presentation. Once you click key database file, new, you're going to select the CMS key database type. Then a location to save those files. I did include some suggestions just from the years of doing administration on some of these servers on creating these CMS key stores. Feel free to look at the suggestions again once the slideshow's over. If you want to have any questions, I'd be more than happy to take those offline. And again, the simplest method. The third step is going to be the key. This is the simplest method that I could give you to determine what signer certificate is going to be needed by the plugin to validate the application server's personal certificate that will be received. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. This is a continuation of part 3. I had asked you to bring a browser and directly access the application server's transport name. This was from an example that I used. You're going to simply view the certificate details from the browser. Again, this would be actually directly accessing an application server transport, such as 9443. I can't show you the port and all the other details. Only so much room on the slide. once you do view the certificate details, you're going to want to view the certification path. And within there, you can see the signer CA. In this case, it was an Equifax certificate authority who signed that certificate, that personal public certificate. One of the other details I wanted to show you for that Equifax signer CA was the serial number. These are some of the key pieces of information you're going to need. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Using that Equifax signer CA example, and its serial number, you can then look in, for step four, look in the key database used by the plugin under the signer certificates and view each of the signer certificates under there to find out if you do have a valid signer certificate for that app server's personal certificate, public certificate. I hope that's clear. Like I said, we're going to answer a lot of questions, I'm sure. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. That was a little quick, but if we, I've walked you through the simple steps to create a to view the certificate created by the app server, and then validate that the key database on the plugin will be used. Now we're going to go in a little, pushing the connection back a little further, and we're going to look on the application server side to see how its key database, its Java Key Store key database, is used and configured on port 944, and where that this is where that public certificate is going to be issued from. So we'll go ahead and go on to the next slide, and at this point, Christy is going to be taking over. She's a resident SSL expert with WebSphere. Thanks.
I'm going to start to go into some of the things that you configure on your application server side to do your SSL. Your integrity and confidentiality of your transport data, including SOAP messages, your HTTP basic authentication, all that's kind of done when you use SSL, when you're going to confirm that you are using SSL. If you enable global security, some of the SSL repertoire settings that we're getting into, you may or may not be familiar with. So all those kind of things, they still come into play here as well as within global security. This first one, which is slide 18, establishes a web container transport chain to handle HTTPS requests. Your web container transport chain, this is the same thing that was in Mic 5 that's called your, which was just called HTTP transport. In version 6, they're called chains. You have your transport chains. So you do have the default ones. You automatically have 4 default chains. You have the 2 for HTTP and 2 for HTTPS. If you want to modify or add a new transport chain, you're welcome to. You can add as many as you need, whether they're HTTP or HTTPS. From the console, you would go into your application server, and then under your web container settings, you'd see your web container transport chains. You'd click on that, and then there's a column titled SSL Enabled, and that tells you whether or not it'll be HTTP or HTTPS. If you have the SSL enabled button checked, it'll handle HTTPS traffic. If you ever want to verify whether or not you think a port is going to be HTTP or HTTPS, this is the place where you would go to look for that. Slide 19 is where to configure like a new one. If you need a flat out new transport chain, you want to add another one for HTTPS, you'd click on new, and then the page of that is create a new transport chain. You provide the name, whichever name you want to give it, and then you're going to select the template. WebSphere automatically gives you the 2 templates, so you would just pick the one that you need for secure, and slide 20 is the next part of that one, which is you select a port, you give it, you input the port name, the host, and the port itself. So your name is just whatever you want it to be so that you know it, and then the port number is the port that you want to use for your HTTPS. When you click next, you'll get a review of the summary of your transport chain so that you can make sure that you've configured it the way you want. Kind of that check to say, yeah, this is what I really meant to be, the name and your port, and then you'll just click finish. Slide 21. When you download the PDF on that slide 20, I do give you the HTTP custom transport properties that you can enable, like your local login or a limit on your file size. There are several different HTTP transport channel custom properties that you can use. So I do list those in the speaker notes of the PDF just for your reference in case you need to do more with the actual transport chain. So on slide 21, we're modifying an SSL inbound channel setting. This is where you're going to want to go to actually start doing your configuration of your repertoire for your SSL. So you get there by your servers, your application servers, and your server name. That second bullet is off of the admin console. You'll still go under your web container settings. You'll see your web container transport chains, and then you'll see secure transport chain. That's basically, that's where you have to go. Then under your transport channels, you'll click on the SSL inbound channel, and then you're going to click on your SSL configuration repertoire, and you'll probably do it at a cell level. And then you select the SSL configuration or create a new JSED repertoire. So if the one that's there you just want to tweak, that's great. If you want a whole new one, you would just do the create a new JSED repertoire. And when you have SSL, these features, I mean, they include your authentication, your data protection, your cryptography token. They all support for your secure HTTPS connection. So your SSL configuration repertoire basically holds all your information. It's going to be where you have your trust file and your key file and all that. So that is what I'm leading into on slide 22. This is actually your repertoire settings. This is your SSL repertoire settings. And it's either going to be for SSL or JSSC, and it contains the details necessary for building an SSL connection, such as location of the key files, their type, and the available ciphers. We do provide a default repertoire setting, and it's called a default SSL setting. So like I said, you can just kind of tweak the one that's there, or you can always start from scratch. On slide 23, it shows you the actual repertoire things within that setting that you're going to have to define, an alias, a security level, your cipher suites, your cryptography token, your provider, your protocol, your key file, and your trust file. There are different notes on this slide as well inside the PDF about your SSL protocol and your possible values. It also talks about the cryptography token, what you have to have for it. It also talks about the SSL custom properties. They're all listed within the notes on the PDF so that you can see which ones are there. Inside each of these custom properties, once you pull up the admin console and you were to be in here, most of them are basically for you. They're just the basic ones that you've probably seen before with SSL. If you do cipher suites or cryptography token, and you're going to know the actual values that you're going to need. You're going to need to know that your hardware supports cryptography. And then your key file and trust file would be the ones that Trey just talked about. And you'll have to define those here or make sure you pull them up. They would be saved over there. And that pretty much sums it up of what you have to have in order on the WebSphere side. These SSL repertoire settings are your basic. This is where you have to, that's where all the stuff will be defined. That's where your key files are and your trust file. And so once you have your HTTP transport chain and then you've done your repertoire settings, you're pretty much good to go. Slide 24 is just a summary. We did your SSL connection review. Trey kind of went through what an SSL connection was. We went through configuring the IHS server to handle HTTPS requests. Then we got into the application server side, had accept and respond over HTTPS, and then doing your ports and your transport chains to handle SSL traffic, which got into your repertoire settings. Slide 25 is the two common problems that you kind of see most of the time when you... The first one is when you request something over HTTPS, a lot of people get a blank page back. So it's like you didn't get a 404 or 500, you just got a blank page. A lot of times it indicates that you tried to go over a port that was set up for HTTP and you were trying to make an HTTPS request. So you just want to go back in on your transport chains and make sure you have set that SSL enabled to true. Or make sure that the port that you are working with is set up to handle your SSL traffic. The second one is your Handshake failure is logged into the HTTP plugin log, and Trey gave you the link to the actual tech note that's out there that tells you how to verify that, and it's actually in the slides 14 through 16 or in the tech note. So that's the other main thing is that your Handshake fails, and it'll always be logged into your HTTP plugin.log. Slide 26. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on the support page points you to a webcast and conference information. You can visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The ESR tool is a password advantage client to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates. So Trey and I, we kind of went through most of the slides. I hope not too fast, but now I think Jennifer's going to open the lines for questions. So if we did go through a slide too fast and you'd like one of us to repeat the slide or to add information, now in the question and answer would be the time to do that.
Thank you, Trey and Christy, for a great presentation. At this point, Robbie, we would like to open the lines for questions. I will now turn it over to our presenters.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question today, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and 1. And we'll pause just a moment to give everyone an opportunity to signal. It appears no one has a question over the phone at this time. I'd like to turn the program back over to your moderator, Ms. Chin.
Okay, then at this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the West Sapphire Support Technical Exchange site early next week. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you to Trey and Christy for presenting today. Have a great day, everyone.
This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at any time.